Can we move into Birds of a Feather?
Which sure.
You also mixed. Did you mix that whole record, that whole Billie Eilish record? This record is...
I mixed it with my my dear friend and collaborator, Aaron Forbes.
We co-mixed it together.
My former college USC guitar friend, student friend.
Wow, incredible.
That's right.
Small world.
Shout out Aaron Forbes.
Couldn't have done it without him, to be honest. So we should credit where credit is due.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Speaking of good mixes, maybe I'm not supposed to hear the mix for it to be a good mix, but these mixes sound so good to me. And I mean the mixes. The compositions are great. The production is great. But the mixes sound different than other mixes, different in like a new, interesting way. Like I'm like, oh, I can imagine mixes becoming more like this in the future. They feel very like forward mixes to me. I don't even know why. So I'm like really excited to listen to this song and ask you about what the heck's going on. Can we listen to Birds of a Feather?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Hell yeah. That's the song.
Pretty good record.
It's pretty maybe good
not so bad.
If there's one thing I'm noticing about it, it's darker than pop mixes. Mm-hmm. It's but in a way that feels like a respite from pop mixes, and so it just stands out in a sea of these bright, crunchy, top heavy, like almost like assault to your senses types of mixes. This is such a pleasant, warm, like nice mix to listen to. It's almost like have feathers on your face or something. It's like beautiful.
Well, that was the intention. Well, you can't throw Billy into the pool of everyone else. The reason why she has gotten to where she has is because of, you know, her differentiators and so the challenge with this one, because it's obviously the most pop song on the album, was to not mix it like a pop record, right?
Right.
And the funny story about that, which is it was the fifth song I mixed, because I started with the last song and then I worked my way through with Aaron. So this is the fourth song on the album, so the fifth mix we've done. And it had gone really well. Like the first, you know, four mixes that I did went really well. And this one comes up and I start aligning. So basically there's like a drum loop of three things, kick, snare, hi-hat, but it's all from the same thing, just how Phineas chopped them up. And then there's live drums, which is hi-hats and some of the drum fills, it's all live, but the live drums are playing throughout the whole record and they're not gridded, right? So I corrected like all the phase on the kick drums and made it like really punchy and like really hit hard. And I like made the vocal bright and loud and like just did a pop mix, and Phineas is like, it's too, you know, didn't like it. Just like straight up didn't like it. And in the most professional way and kind way, Tommy didn't like it. And I was like, cool, let's start over.
What words did he use?
He was so correct.
What words did he use when he said
it sounds like you gave us the radio mix. So maybe we'll use this for radio. But like for the album, it just needs to feel lighter. You know, I made it like, it's like hitting. It was like completely wrong. He was completely right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just hear a song like that and you're like, oh, this is going to be, this is very rare. This happened like twice, maybe three times in my life where I hear a song and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a big song. Like, you just know it. Obviously biased because, you know, it's her. So there's already like an audience for the thing. But then probably me subconsciously just going in and trying to make it bang. And then the idea was like, well, yeah, if she is writing a pop song, if they're writing a pop song and she's performing it, if it sounds like other pop records, then it's not inherently her anymore, right? So it has to be edgier, darker. Like there's so much like earthiness to those drums. It's so rugged down there in the low mids and the low end. It's still precise and it's clean enough where like it bounces right, but like there's mystery down there. And then like with all the warmth of the synths, there like there's just so much in the low mid kind of murky territory. And just the amount of control, just the minimal amount of control to get all those things to speak so she can exist on top and float like she's in the clouds without having to just like throw 10 dB of 10K, like a Sabrina Carpenter mix or something like that, which is, those sound fantastic as well, you know, but that's not what, it's not going to work for Billy.
So this is...
He needs to feel effortless. Like you said, feathers on the face. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, so, you know, like great collaborations, there's like people that come in with like different skill sets, you know, like, I mean, there's so many examples, right? Paul and John and even like just like when you find yourself on like working on a collaboration that like works out, like my wife and I, like she is really great at melodies and bass lines. Mm. And I really like harmony. And so together we just like it becomes a song because I'm obsessed with harmony. She's obsessed with melodies. Mm-hmm. I feel like with Phineas and Billy, she's it's a weird way to frame this, but like she's her voice is just beautiful and up here, and he has this insane attention to detail on low end. Like his use and production of stuff below 150 hertz is unlike anything I've ever heard in my life. I don't know. I'm almost wondering if like, does he hear something else down there that we are only like hearing a smidgen of? Like, it seems like he's so attentive to shit under 150. I wonder if he has like a defect in his hearing or something that's like, that makes it seem like that. But I can't figure out how he's so good at low end and so creative at low end. Like, I've never put that much attention on that space before.
Phineas is a savant in so many aspects of the creative process. So, and I can spend the rest of our conversation praising what he does and what I've gotten to witness under the hood, and the low end being specific there. And I feel kindred to him in that sense. Like I love low end. I think that's why we, you know, potentially worked really well on this project together. But you're right. I would say even goes higher, to be super technical. I would say it goes all the way up to like 350, mm-hmm. like how he stacks his basses and mm-hmm. How he stacks the voicings of the synth chords or piano chords on top of the basses. There's a layer yeah. there that connects, right? Like everything kind of just stacks up, like orchestrally speaking. So like, I like to think of all mixes of all genres from like a piano, right? So like Bill Evans, for example, he's always just so tight with his chord shapes, right? And that's
right.
He's my favorite musician of all time. So I try to like to balance the harmony throughout the thing. I think Phineas just composes and arranges that way naturally, all the way up to not any higher than 3-4K kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So the vocal just lives everywhere else, which is
yes.
fantastic for a mixer because there's not a lot in the arrangement competing with that. And that has to be intentional between the two of them and him being sensitive to where his sister's voice shines. Right.
Yeah.
And then my job was to just enhance the right moments. Like the first thing I did on any song, on the first song I got, was just solo the vocal and listen completely down. And then I soloed the vocal with the background vocals and I just listened completely down and hear any instrumentation. And I just sat there and I was like, wow, what a lucky day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like such a lucky day to have an opportunity to have this vocal in my ear holes at this proximity to these giant speakers that I have. Like, it's just the greatest day of my life, I would say, probably.
Man. You know,
I'm not married, so I can say that. You know, like, that's supposed to be the greatest day of your
no
life.
No kids.
But, you know.
So is that typical when you get files? No. It's just because it was her.
Well, I don't want to diminish the other artists that I work with in this conversation. It's just that I think because of how much of a fan I am
yeah.
of her to begin with, and to get a chance to work on her vocal and knowing from the beginning of her releases that if that were to ever happen, which I always felt was very unlikely and had no expectations for this to happen, that if I got the chance, I would know exactly what to do. With her voice. I just feel really kindred with the two of them in general, aesthetically. I tend to like to mix dark. I tend to mix warm in general. Though the month after that, also thanks to Phineas with an introduction, I got to do the Camila Cabello album, and it's completely opposite. And it's just very bright vocal. And I found my way of making a super pop bright vocal. And then I did an Omar Apollo album, which was like way right after that, which was closer to Billy, like warm, dark, like kind of vignetted, like that my favorite type of mixing would be that warm, dark, kind of enveloping, emotional style mm-hmm. mixing. But as a mixer, you want to do all genres. So I wanted to be okay with bright vocals. But
Can you talk a little bit about how you handled the two drums situation? Because I heard, it sounds to me like it's sample heavy, right? Like the loop is kind of forward. And then like you can kind of tell, I became aware of the other drums because of the hats.
Yes.
Right? Like you hear the loopy hats on the left and the kit is sort of like in the middle.
Yeah.
How
can we listen to that first? Yeah. Let's hear that.
So both kits are playing right now. And they're playing the exact same thing. The same kick and snare pattern.
God, that chugging.
I know, when the bass comes in.
God, yeah. It's just like, it's so like, emotional. I'm just like, I'm in pop heaven.
I'm in heaven. It's unreal. Yeah.
You know what? It's like the only, sorry, I know we were talking about the drum loops for a second.
Go for it.
But
so satisfying.
But
so inconsistent too in the right way. It's like not, you know, velocity consistency. Like no.
Different song. And I'm not comparing the sound or the chord progressions. I'm comparing the feeling.
Yeah.
When that chugging comes in this song, it's the same feeling. It's like perfect chugging pop heaven. Don't stop ever. I want to listen to this on repeat for the rest of
that's what I was imagining when I was mixing it.
Yeah.
That's what I was
chugging thinking. Is so satisfying.
It's so satisfying.
the drum. Okay, so we should talk about the drums. I muted the kick and snare mic in the drum kit.
Got it.
Until the tom fill.
So it's just overheads?
Yeah, just overheads. Rooms, mono overhead, and then tom mics. And then when the tom fills happen, the whole kit comes back in. So like,
who's playing drums? Do we know?
Andrew. I'm sorry to Andrew. I don't remember. I don't know your last name.
Okay.
Yeah, he tours with her, like in the band. And that part of the story I was gonna say earlier about like him not
Andrew
liking
Marshall.
Andrew Marshall, thank you. The first pass, you know, not liking it. Like the part of the story is that it took 4 attempts of me starting over for it to land in the right place. So that's why I was saying everything was going really well up until this record, and then I think it was the first kind of. There's always a problem child on every album. If you're doing 4 albums, always one problem child, and this was the one because it was like, all right, let's go back to the rough mix. And there was something there. It was light. It was, you know, it was like more coy. It was had the right energy. I made it hit too hard. And then, you know, Phineas came over. We're doing it in the room together. And 45 minutes into like a restart, he's like, I'm gonna leave, but this is in a really good place. And just keep going down this path. This is great. I'm so happy. And I did that, sent it. And he was like, don't like this one either. You know, it's too light. Like there was something about the thing that you got in the first one wasn't quite right, but you know, let's find a happy medium.
Does he say that to you on the phone call? Like, do you Dropbox him a file, and or does he come back to the room and like,
both.
Are you sitting there with him? Okay,
both. Yeah, okay, different busy schedules.
Yeah, know, and them. How does he actually like? What is the feedback that he actually gives you? So he sits down, you play him the mix in front of the speakers. What does he say?
He gives the best feedback.
How? Why? He's what makes it so good?
He's just such a good communicator. He's
yeah,
just like he's very deliberate. He knows what he wants and he knows what he doesn't want. Both of them are very great communicators. Nothing vague. I mean, artists speak in vague terms sometimes, but and I actually like I prefer that to snare drums too loud. It's like, give me something. Tell me the color and the shape of the bridge you want. Don't tell me this like the snare is too loud. Like you can say that for sure if that's like an objective quick note. But I like to talk in shapes and colors and a bit more like a you know overall bigger picture in the conversation. He's
Tom
really
Waits
good at that.
Notes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. Finney's just one of the best communicators and kind of empowering producers that I've ever worked with. Feel really lucky because it could not be that way because you know someone like him could potentially want to like dominate in every aspect of things. And he told me he wanted this album to sound. He used the word engineery. He was like, make it sound really good. Make it sound engineery. Like, make it sound like these are your favorite mixes you've ever done. And I was like, who? No one's ever said that to
wow,
me.
Wow, that's such a cool note.
Such a cool note. That was before we got started. I was like, you know, it's like, just do, like, I like what you do. You like what we do. Like, let's do the thing. And honestly, that's the best I've ever felt, I think, in feedback. And then, so when someone, after they say that, they say they don't like a mix, then you're in this together already.
Right.
So it makes that less challenging and way easier to just start over and mm-hmm. do it again. And yeah, it took four attempts to get that one right. And
when you start over, can you describe what that process is for you?
I have a session prepped by my assistant before I touch anything, and it's a save as, and it just says my initial dot prep.
Yeah.
So that just means exactly how the stems or the session came from the producer, where it should sound exactly like the latest rough mix that everybody's
got it. With so things are panned and balanced.
Yeah.
And processed.
Some processing is happening to the extent that they left off.
Yeah.
Right. And then I'm taking it from there so I can get back to that prep session.
And then when you get back to it, do you have a way that you generally approach mixes? Like, do you start with drums? Do you start with vocals?
Always different.
Okay.
With her, it was vocals and like one keyboard element of his.
And like, what did you do just to see how nitty gritty we can get?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, like, when you say you started with vocals, what did you do?
Okay. Yeah. Aaron and I, this is like the most fun. This is the lamest thing one will ever say on this podcast, and also the coolest thing to me.
That's a high bar, my friend.
Okay, really? Yeah,
we've said a lot of lame things.
Aaron and I would sit. We would go through a different tape emulator plugin and or SSL channel strip version, whether it was like the UAD this one or the Plugin Alliance this one or the with no parameters changed, and we would listen down to the whole, almost the whole song,
just
to see what texture we could bring out of the already existing vocal with nothing except for just putting a tone shaper sound box.
Okay, so you listen to the whole mix.
I would listen to the whole song
and
down.
You'd leave the process, the old processing that was on the vocal.
Well, comes in with none, meaning I want just stems from them. So it sounds exactly like the last rough mix with no added plugins.
Okay.
Meaning just clean session.
And then you stems. Just put different tape or SSL channels on with nothing, just to hear the sound,
that
the tone shaping that those plugins do until, what are you looking for? Until you find something that just feels
more
good?
More of her.
Yeah. More Billy.
More Billy.
Okay.
More character that's already there.
You're trying to find a console.
Yeah.
For her voice.
Yeah.
And what, do you remember what you settled on?
Every song's different.
But for this song?
Birds of a Feather is the vintage, Ozone vintage tape, Ozone 11 vintage tape, I think 15 IPs on this one, with probably some harmonics, and then like the G EQ SSL channel, probably before it, into it, or after, I don't remember where I landed.
Okay.
How much?
Like 0.3 dB boost on like the upper mid knob at something, whether it's 2 to 4K, probably
on
like
the Ozone or the SSL.
On the SSL, probably on this song.
How much is in the box with a mix like this?
I'm like 80-20 in the box.
80-20. Okay.
The Billy album is through a outboard compressor and back through my Lavery converter, but no other hardware on anything else.
Okay, so just compression.
The strings
and the
on skinny and. Then blue, going through a VT5 Fern EQ and just printed back through, but no other hardware.
And is the compression on the master bus or on vocals or on
the master bus?
On the master bus.
And the needle isn't moving.
Okay.
It's just a little bit of tone.
Okay, just a little bit. Got it. And then what about something like the vocal sounds, one of the things that makes it sound so nice, let's listen to this vocal for a second. There's this wonderful like echo going on.
It's all Phineas, man. So it's printed. It's genius.
So he printed that echo.
It's genius.
Okay. What do you know what that echo is?
No idea. Probably Valhalla delay.
Okay.
Right.
Probably Valhalla delay.
Doesn't matter. Right.
So and does he
so
print,
magical?
Yeah.
So he prints an echo, a clean echo, not including her. So her vocal is clean and okay.
Yeah, I probably boosted some sort of mids to push that out without turning the volume up kind of thing. Maybe I just turned it up because I liked it so much.
Yeah.
I wanted to actually, that to me is the differentiator of that. Like like Chapel Roan mixes, like getting that kind of Cyndi Lauper slap delay happening. Like these pop artists that have a little bit more character than just a dry, loud vocal.
Right.
I wanted to emphasize that for Billy on like the whole album. There's a lot of like a lot of vocal effects, and all of them are Phineas. Unless he asks me to add something, every vocal effect on the album is him.
Wow.
I feel like we could talk to you about this one song for another 3 hours at least.
Yeah.
We have to wrap it up, unfortunately. What's a song that you have been listening to recently that blew you away? What was the last song you listened to that wowed you?
I really like, there's a couple, but I really like the bounce and the feeling in regards to the conversation earlier about We Belong Together. I really like the drums and the way the vocals are mixed and feel on the Weekend Playboi Carti Timeless record. Mm. The 808 on that, the puffy.
Should we hear a few seconds of that?
Yeah. It's Weekend and who?
Playboi Carti. The way that the low end pushes out without transients on the 808 and where the vocals sit is kind of a, that Mariah balance we were talking about. It's not very dissimilar. And
what's the song called?
Timeless. Makes me want to throw shit too. It's that kind of energy. Like I played it on the way to, I did a tennis tournament recently and I played it the whole way up to Calabasas.
Nice.
On loop to get me pumped for the game.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Can we turn more volume?
Hell yeah. Yeah.
It exists all the way up. It's like,
oh my God.
Man, I bet that sounds amazing on huge speakers.
Sounds insane.
What you got, Jack? What have you been listening to?
Songs I've been listening to
songs,
recently.
What's the song you've been listening to recently?
Okay, something I've been listening to recently.
What's that new Bon Iver song, too, that came out?
Man, I love the new stuff that he's been putting out.
Yeah, on another end of the spectrum from that, I would say the new Bon Iver EP
is so just good.
Oh, it's like the music that's in my head that I can never get out because I'm just not talented enough. It's a dream to me. It's insane.
It's so good.
Okay, something I've been listening to that I absolutely love. Man, I'm gonna do... I have to do Junior Mesa.
You should.
Mm. This kid... Just, I don't understand. Listen to this guitar playing.
So good.
You could go on that, but like this, I'm amazed. Oh, sorry about that.
It's okay.
Look at this kid. That's him. Just like
great title too.
Like, yeah. I hear that. I'm like, the creativity of the guitar playing is just so, it's so creative and interesting and different and fresh. And like, he's just doing his own thing. I love that. I just love it.
And the fact that came out this year.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you got for us, Ryan?
What do I have for us? Man, I heard this song in a movie. It's an old song, but it just... I think... Yeah, it's just so fucking good. Send Him Back, the Pointer Sisters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love the Pointer Sisters.
So stanky.
Send my baby back. Oh, heartbeat.
It's nasty.
It's nasty.
Wait, just to illustrate the point that we were making earlier.
Yeah.
Listen to this. My baby's back. Oh. Think about listening to music for 50 years like that, and then you hear this. I was lying to myself. And you're like, I could not fathom that would ever be without you. That's the freshest love shit I've ever heard. Imagined I'd be sitting here. Right? It's like all the saturation is gone, all the tape artifacts, it's like you finally get clean audio, you know? Anyway.
That excites you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
You seem excited right now, Jack.
I love childlike enthusiasm. And if there's anything that I can say that I hope I don't lose in life is the option to experience something for the first time. As if you were a child, and I feel like music is one of the ways that we can, have that feeling.
Totally.
And you just demonstrated that perfectly.
And we're going to be talking about another song that you mixed by Omar Apollo featuring Mustafa called Plane Trees.
Okay, here we go. Here's Plane Trees by Omar Apollo. Let's jump straight into it. Here we go.
Oh, so slow. Our presence made the ground glow. How could we be smiling? How could we if we're outside?
Spiritual experience.
What strikes me about that is like, you keep taking more away, and I didn't think there was more to be taken away. And then the lead vocal disappears, and it's just the effects of the lead vocal.
It's a bleed in the piano mic or the guitar mic.
Yeah, but like things keep disappearing. Oh God, it feels like aging or memory loss or something. Like
it's just the whole lyric.
Yeah,
you know.
That's gorgeous.
That's so gorgeous. That
transports, really takes you to a place. So, what?
It's hard to talk after that.
I know.
It really is.
I love that song so much. And I love Teo Helm's production on that and his attention to every millisecond. That's how I am with everything. It's like every millisecond, every piano velocity, like every chord hit, how it was attacked, like the way that the guitars are panned, and then sometimes on the right side they're doubled, sometimes they're not, like, and the way that shifts and makes you unsettled the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
The Mustafa doubles that come in the second verse, while Omar is that kind of that same proximity thing that we were talking about in the We Belong Together, where like Omar has some verb and he's like up in the back, and then Mustafa comes in and it's like really warm and dry and focused. It's so sensational to me.
Yeah, everything feels so tactile.
Yeah.
Like, I love, very touchable.
Yeah.
It's amazing how you can make things sound like that without a lot of high end too. Because those guitars are super, again, super dark. And yet they still feel like they're right in front of you. They feel super close.
There's nothing really interesting in a guitar above like 7K.
Yeah.
And then we're probably taking it all down to 4 or something even lower, like intentionally, like the tail being like less you know, with like Pultec style EQs. So it's kind of broad, you know, attenuations and stuff. Like the frequency selector might be at 20 or something on the Pultec, but we're taking down like 10 dB of it, so it just rounds it off.
Right.
All the guitars, all the pianos, even on the vocals, everything's just darkened. Everything's like, and then you take it down until it's too far, and you bring it back a little bit, and like there's two ways to mix records. There's subtractive and there's additive. There's different styles, like Sean Everett, additive, you know, me, more subtractive. Like, I'm learning to be more additive when necessary, but I'm more of a subtractive mixer. Tony's more of a subtractive mixer. Jimmy Douglas is an additive mixer. Like, there's these different styles of people, how they do that. And with Omar, and with not dissimilar to Billy, it's like, how do you minimize frequency, regions, areas on instruments to let other things speak? And you just like take down little bits so everything has their place instead of boosting on top of each other. Mm-hmm. It's like exposing through negative, through subtractive.
Right. You're like creating space for other things by removing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're chipping away at the marble.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And if you were to make that into a bright, loud mix, it's just, you wouldn't feel so like,
yeah.
I mean, it gives me anxiety listening to it. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It's
a
heartbreaking record. They're talking about a relationship that ended, but you knew it was so good that after death, it could still make the ground glow. Like, that's supposed to be bright and pop.
Right.
Like, I don't understand. Right. Then I'm not the guy for the job. They're like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to hear the intention of the lyric and emphasize that and it's nice when that connection occurs.
You did such a good job of transmitting the feeling behind that lyric into the mix because it put me in like a meditative, reflective state where like I was hearing the sound of his voice and I was feeling the mix mm-hmm. and like the ebb and flow of the different ingredients in the mix. And I feel like it was more – that song was a body high. Not a head high. Do you know what I mean? And I got that, but I don't know if I was listening to the words at all. I was just...
next listen.
Yeah. Yeah. So...
Well, I've never actually heard it in headphones. So that listen, I had a whole new... Now as a fan, and it's been out for a while. I mixed that probably in March or April. So it's been out for a while. I'm literally hearing those guitars now as the... like the shovel, like digging the grave.
Wow!
And like the piano is so tactile. Like the grass, like there's dew forming on the grass. Like you're literally outside in a forest, and someone's digging a grave, and then it's just you get lowered into it. It's so morbid, I know, but it's also beautiful, and it's
It felt like that. That's a beautiful way to put it. Yeah.
So I haven't heard it like that.
The second chord of the song is one of my favorite chords.
Let's listen to that. Here we go.
The Judy Sill chord with the 7 and the bass.
Here we go.
Or maybe it's the third chord. Or maybe it's the fourth chord.
How could we be dying?
This chord.
If we're lying.
That's...
It's like it's so hard to listen to that song.
Wow, man. I love how you think about music, and I feel like I can feel the sort of how you've processed your own sort of like internal journey, and I can feel that in the way that you talk about the people you collaborate with and the way that you talk about these songs. It just feels like you experience it in such a like beautifully flawed way, if that makes sense. Just like I feel like I experienced myself. I don't know. Just the way that you talk about music and your mixes, like I just feel like I see it resonates with like my own journey. So thank you for letting us in and
so fun to talk to you
going down these roads with us. Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah,
do a round two one day.
You're a real one. Yep,
thanks.
Yeah, and thank you everybody for watching. We'll see you next time on Dead Wax.
Thank you, members.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.